Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning and to look into God's Word together. Thank you for joining us this morning as we look at our subject from faith to faith in these last days. Before we get started in the message, once again, I want to thank you for your giving to the Crown of Blessing Fund. This last week, we were able to help some starving nuns in a convent who had no food, and also several other people that were quite desperate for food. So thank you for your giving, and you can give online and just mark it Crown of Blessing, and I know that there will be many who appreciate your giving. I'd like to start with a word of prayer this morning. Father, thank you for everyone who has gathered to hear your voice. How important it is that we hear your voice in these days when our ears are bombarded with so many other voices, perhaps unlike in any other time of human history. The voices of social media and the press, et cetera, come to us with all of their messages. But in it all, there's one message that is supreme, that is above all the other messages of this world, and that is your voice. That's your message. Lord, we covet, we prize, we hold precious and dear your voice, because it was that voice that brought us life and salvation. And we pray today that as we hear the word of the Lord, that we won't hear Pastor Rick, we will hear your voice. Your voice, Lord, it's your voice that brings us life. Thank you for being our helper today as we look into your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. We will begin with Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, as we have each week, as we've been continuing in our series on From Faith to Faith in the last days. Romans 1, 16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." Before I go any further on that, on the way into the building today, I met one of the council cleaners and engaged him in a conversation. And he started talking to me about how terrible the virus was and so on, and his theories of where it all happened and everything. And hopefully, you know, we'll get through this, et cetera. And so I said to him, I said, "Well, you know, I have a vaccine." And he looked at me kind of with eyes wide, just like, "Yeah?" I said, "Yeah, I have a vaccine." And I said, "It is my faith." And so I began to share with him my testimony and some of the things that God has done. And this guy opened up unbelievably, because he had not heard any note of hope that there was any possibilities for salvation, in that sense, to come to our world unless there was a vaccine developing very soon. So the Bible says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." And so you and I have to proclaim what we believe is the answer to every virus of our time, whether it's COVID-19 or an economic virus or a racial division virus. Whatever that virus is, the gospel is the answer. It is the power of God to bring salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Verse 17 goes on, says, "For in it," in this gospel, "the right ways of God are revealed from faith to faith," from faith to faith. You don't get anywhere with religion until you exercise faith. And once you exercise faith, you move out of religion into relationship, and you begin a faith journey. The Bible says, "The just shall live and walk by faith." And so we've been looking at this subject, and this morning I'd like to kind of deal with something I think the coronavirus has helped us to do, and that is to confront our fears. You know, if there was a fear index, you know, they have all kinds of indices that they measure things, whether it's the economy or the number of people who have passed away from COVID-19. And so they have all of these reference points. And I think that you can readily see that the fear level in our world has ratcheted up incredibly. And so one of the blessings of Corona, if I can put it in that sense, is that it's caused us to force or confront our fears. Because if you don't confront your fears, you will inevitably submit to those fears. And we see in the Bible story, that the disciples didn't confront their fear in the storm. And so when Jesus got up, he rebuked them because they didn't use their faith to confront their fear. And so that timeless message is something for us all, especially as we live out the rest of our lives and we face a world that is constantly increasing the level of fear in which people are living in. And I'd like to say that if there were an index of fears, the index of fear would be the number of fears that you allow in your life and the depth of those fears. That's directly related to word poverty and your unwitting submission to the spirit of fear. You know, some people might say, well, I mean, come on, Pastor, how bad is fear? I mean, everybody has fears. Well, I'd like you to comprehend today how significant fear is and its relationship to your success. You know, people are plagued with all kinds of fears, and I'm sure you've had your challenges with fear. Financial fear, fear of old age, fear of sickness, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of loneliness, fear of the future, fear of getting into the right school or getting into the university, all kinds of fears. In fact, you can buy an insurance practically that's supposed to diminish the impact of any fear that you might have, because there will be some sort of monetary compensation. But as you know, money doesn't necessarily deal with fear at all. And it's vital to recognize that fear is something so significant and that it actually makes you a victim. It makes you a victim because it is a spiritual wound to the center of power in your life. It's a spiritual wound. It's an arrow that goes into your spirit man and makes you weak and invites everything else that you don't want. That's why Ephesians 6:10 says that we are to put on the armor and the shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart. And fear is a fiery dart that enters your heart and destroys your life from the inside. You know, the devil has a Bible, so to speak, and his Bible is the counterfeit to the one we have. He tries to counterfeit everything that God does. And in Matthew chapter 4, we have a very interesting idea or concept of this Bible, Matthew 4 and verse 4. Says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. So here's interesting. Jesus is led by the Spirit to speak to a spirit. And interestingly enough, he has a conversation with a spirit. It says, the tempter came to him and said, So the spirit of evil, the devil, the tempter, Satan, Lucifer, the dragon, the serpent, whatever you want to call him, he speaks, and he speaks in the realm of thoughts. Just like God speaks, he's spoken in his word, he speaks by the Spirit. This Spirit also speaks. And so the one who was to carry the weight of all sin of all mankind and bring redemption plan to mankind and this world had a conversation with the devil. And hidden in his conversation with the devil is a powerful truth concerning fear that we need to grasp in our time. The devil speaks to him, and they have this conversation. And Jesus said, as you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, if the devil had his Bible out, he would have quoted, man shall die by bread, and he'll also die a million deaths by every word that comes out of my mouth. And so he speaks death just as God's mouth, the Holy Spirit, speaks life. We also see in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, let's put it in the devil's version, TDV. TDV says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the devil, plans to kill you and to maim you, plans to make you full of despair and to end your life. That's the devil's version. And that is the voice of fear that he brings to all of mankind in every opportunity that he possibly can. And so, it's important for us to grasp how much fear plays a part in our lives. And so I want to show a contrast between what I call two different kinds of faith and perhaps allow you an opportunity to understand the significance of fear and how it has perhaps impacted your life and could impact your life if you don't discern it correctly and deal with it. Because there are actually two kinds of faith and fear. And, you know, you might also call fear faith, because it is a negative faith. The faith that we have as Christians, as believers, is a positive faith. The faith that you have when you are submitting to the power of fear is a negative faith. That is destructive. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, the Bible commends the Thessalonian believers because their faith was growing more and more, which tells us that in the darkest times of human history, as the fear level rises, we must be concerned about growing our faith so we don't submit to the other faith, which is fear. If faith releases good things, fear releases terrible things. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. It says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13 says, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. That's a good one. We could stop there. It's written, I believed, I've spoken. Those are three parts right there you can take home with you. But then he goes on to say, with that same spirit of faith. And I want to just camp here for a second on this phrase, the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. There is a relationship between faith and the Spirit. And so this relationship is called the Spirit of Faith. And we understand that because you would not even be a believer if the Holy Spirit hadn't brought to you conviction of sin and the choice of believing that Jesus died for your sin. And as a result of your choice, you're choosing to believe based upon the saving faith that was granted to you, you wouldn't be a Christian. It was the Holy Spirit, the spirit of faith, the spirit that generates, that produces faith, as Galatians 5 says. And so it's called the spirit of faith. And I want to just get you to focus on this idea of the spirit of faith. Because faith isn't just a theological notion. You can memorize a lot of verses about faith, and that's good. Go ahead, do that. Please do that. But here he talks about a relationship between faith and the spirit, or the spirit of faith, the one that's involved with faith. So that's why I say it's not just owning a Bible and knowing some verses. There is a spiritual dimension to faith. And it is this spirit dimension to faith that makes it so, so powerful. Now, in comparison to the faith, the spirit of faith, there's also the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear," a spirit of fear, as the NIV says, a spirit of timidity, "but a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline." God didn't give us a spirit of fear, so there is a spirit connected with fear. 1 Peter 3 and verse 6. It says, "Like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master, you are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear." You don't give way to fear. You don't allow fear to have its access in your life. She was placed in some very awkward and dangerous circumstances, but she was a woman of faith. And it was her faith, I believe, that brought her out of that. She did not give way to the spirit of fear. Romans 8 and verse 15. Romans 8 and verse 15 says, I can dig it up here. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You didn't receive the spirit of bondage to fear, a spirit of bondage to fear. You know, in my journey, I've met many people who were in bondage to fear. I remember some years ago, a woman came for counseling, for some help, and she made an appointment, and she came in the door, and she glanced about furtively, looking like she was afraid that if she came into my office that somebody would attack her or something terrible would happen. I had never met this woman. I didn't know her. Eventually, I greeted her and told her to be seated. And so she sat down, and I prayed. And then I looked at this poor woman, and I said, "How can I be of help to you?" And she began to tell her story about all the things that were going on in her life that were not good. And while she was telling me this, she kept kind of digging in her purse and pulling out bits of food and looking from left to right and eating a little bit of it and then sticking it back. And I said, "I'm sorry." I said, are you hungry?" She said, "Yes, I am hungry." But I said, "Well, we'll get you some food." She said, "No, you can't do that." I said, "What do you mean we can't give you some food?" "Of course we can." She said, no, "you have to go to the right place because that major supermarket store, they poison the food there. I can't buy any food there." Well, that one little statement was just a fraction of the fears that held this woman in bondage. It is a tragic thing to be a victim of the spirit of fear. I know we can be tempted in the Western world to just look at things in terms of ideas. But we know that all the problems that man has since the beginning of time started with an activity of a spirit, the devil. And so the doctrine of evil spirits begins in the garden where man and woman spoke to a snake, and they spoke unwittingly to a spirit who lived inside a snake. And that voice has been speaking to mankind ever since. Same voice to Jesus. So it's vital for us to recognize that both faith is connected to a work of the Spirit, and fear is connected to a work of the Spirit. They are both beliefs. There is this capacity we have for believing something. Have you ever believed anything that was illogical and somebody couldn't talk you out of it simply because you believed it? And that's true of the gospel. Many people wouldn't believe the gospel because it's irrational. It's irrational. It's not logical or reasonable or sensible. Evolution is rational, but the gospel is not. It's not. You're a Christian today because you took something that's irrational according to this world and said, I choose to believe there was a man called Jesus, the Son of God, who died for me, who went to the cross for my sin, and regardless of what I've done, all of it will be dealt with if I ask His forgiveness and I put my faith in Him. I choose to believe. And when you chose to believe, you were translated, you were transformed, a change took place, a miracle took place, because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of faith, came and did something on the inside of you. And if you have truly been born again, you have a confidence that when you leave this life, you're going to be with the Lord. The spirit of fear is also a form of faith that is designed to take you not to a place of peace and comfort and safety, but to a place of damnation and judgment, of terror and torment and of bondage. And he said, you haven't received a spirit of bondage to fear, no more, but you receive the spirit of sonship. That spirit of sonship says, I know who I am. That's what the whole contest was with Jesus in Matthew 4. If you are the Son of God, if you are. And so fear is a form of faith. It is negative faith, if you will, but it is still powerful. Just like that woman, her life was full of fear, and she had been reduced to a fraction of what God meant her to be because she was in bondage to a spirit of fear. So let's look here at, we should take 1 Peter 3 while we're here, 1 Peter 3. And verse 6, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master, he says, you're her daughter, you know who you are, if you do what is right and don't give way. Don't give way. I don't think anybody gets out of bed and says, okay, I think I'm going to invite the spirit of fear into my life and just let the spirit, the evil spirit, the demonic spirit of fear have access to my inner person so that I live in a certain amount of terror on the inside. I don't think anybody gets out of bed thinking that way. But it is a reality that if you live in this world, there is the spirit of fear that comes from the evil spirit, the devil himself. So let's just look quickly at this contrast I've given you in these charts. The spirit of faith releases the power of God. You know that when you chose to believe, because the spirit of faith came to you, all of a sudden the power of God came into your life, into your being, and changed you on the inside. When you believe the devil, you are inviting Satan's attack. When you believe fear, the voice of fear. Fear has a voice just like faith has a voice. A spirit voice. The devil says, you're going to get robbed. You're going to get beaten. You're going to get mugged. You're going to get raped. You're going to get violated. You're not going to, this isn't going to happen. That's going to happen. That's all those voices. And if you allow yourself to unwittingly believe a spirit's voice, just as you volitionally chose to believe a spirit's voice that brought you salvation, you unwittingly believe a spirit's voice that will take you into damnation, torment, and a whole host of wrong decisions you don't want to take. I know many of us are often sophisticated. We don't talk about our fears to anybody, but we may nurse them until they become part of our instincts, decisions that we take, perspectives that we have. So a temporary attitude becomes an established attitude. The spirit of faith is what prevents and protects. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, as we were referring to a few moments ago, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit and the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts. Faith quenches the fiery darts. The fiery darts are the ones that Satan shoots at you. They're the ones that make you vulnerable. The spirit of fear makes you vulnerable. You are not walking with confidence. You're not walking with strength. You are worried. You are anxious. You're anxious about tomorrow, about your children. The spirit of fear is trying to strangle your life from the inside. If you don't recognize it and apply the Word of God and come back to faith, the spirit of faith, and deal with the spirit of fear, and I'm going to tell you how to deal with the spirit of fear before we get finished with this message, then that spirit of fear begins to get a grip on your thoughts, your emotions, and most significantly, on your spirit man. Faith, the spirit of faith, pleases God, as the Bible tells us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, you please Him. And with fear, you please the devil. You displease God with fear, but you please the devil. The devil is happy every time you doubt God, and you doubt His promises, and you doubt His word, and you go with the message that He's put into your mind. He has success in your inner life. The spirit of faith, as I've already said, is of the spirit. And the spirit of fear is a spirit-based, demonic attack upon your life. As we continue, the spirit of faith brings comfort, confidence, and rest. Ephesians 3 and verse 12. It says, in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Freedom and confidence. You know, it's good to live with freedom, with confidence, and rest. But fear brings you torment, doubt, and anxiety. You know, as a young man, I was full of fears. I did not have freedom, confidence, and rest. And I did not realize that what had happened was that a spirit of fear had so gripped my life that it shaped my perspective and the way I looked at life and people and myself and tomorrow and you name it. And it wasn't until I was in some wonderful, powerful meetings where somebody who had a gift of discernment recognized the spirit of fear that was on me. They dealt with the spirit of fear, and I came out of prison that day. I came out of the bondage, the slavery to fear that day. I saw life differently. Yes, I needed to grow my faith and take the scriptures and embrace them and agree with them and confess them and walk in them, love other people, so on. All those things, but I got released that day from a spirit of fear. God wants you to be so discerning, so spiritually intelligent, that when the spirit of fear comes, no matter how it comes, if you're shopping in, some people are saying we're going to have another pandemic. So, you know, you can project through that, and that's what the devil wants you. He wants you projecting negative things and speculate like you get on the television all the time. Well, this could happen and that could happen, and if that happens, then this will happen, and if that happens, then this will happen. And pretty soon they've got some exponential doomsday scenario they want you to listen to. Where is that coming from? How does that inspire a population? It doesn't. It comes from the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of fear. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment." Sometimes our torment can be visibly expressed. Other times we manage to keep it on the inside because we're ashamed of our fears. But you can be guaranteed, before you finish this life, God will allow you to be in some circumstance where you should ordinarily be strangled by the demonic spirit of fear. But if you are wise and discerning, and you have been developing your faith, you have been becoming a faith person, and you recognize what a terrible, dastardly, demonic enemy fear is, you will walk in confidence. I know that God will give you peace in the midst of the worst storms of life when your initial responses can be like the disciples to say, "There is no way out of this storm. We're going to drown." The spirit of fear had so gripped them. Their last resort was to wake Jesus up. That's not God's intent. That's why the Bible records he rebuked them for their lack of faith. He pitted their fear against their faith. So there's a spirit that's come on you in this storm that does not belong to you. It's not who you are. Fear is not who you are. I hope you get that today. Fear is not who you are. And if it's not who you are, you want to reject it and you want to deal with it so that it does not take root inside of you. You want to become established, as the epistles say, in faith and in love, rooted and grounded in faith and loving. As we continue with the contrast with these two kinds of fear, the spirit of faith creates miracles of blessing. Acts chapter 3 and verse 16, you know the story, and Peter's explaining afterward. He says, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong." It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. God has the spirit of faith, the Holy Spirit, that takes the word of God, the preached, declared, heard word of God, and he delivers it to your address. He delivers it to your heart. He delivers it to your mind. He delivers it to your spirit so that you can experience healing. You can experience the blessing of any and every miracle that God has promised you is yours. A spirit of faith releases miracles that mankind cannot create or reproduce. The spirit of faith. The opposite of that creates events of doom and disaster. John 10:10, you know the passage, says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. How does he do that? He does that simply by speaking his thoughts into your mind that nothing good is going to happen. This situation is going to get worse. The pain you feel is probably a sign of some deadly disease you're going to die of. Nobody's going to be around to look after your children. Age is a terrible thing to come upon you. All kinds of voices. He wants access to your inner man. He wants you to believe what he says. He wants to destroy your life from the inside. The Bible speaks of those who all their lifetime were in bondage to the fear of death. Death in a thousand ways. That's opposite to the spirit of faith. Going on, it says, the spirit of faith is the spirit of truth. It is the truth about any matter. And the spirit of fear, or fear faith, is a spirit of error. It's the wrong way. It's not the way that God wanted you to walk or has commanded you to walk. That's why God gives you a command. Do not fear. It is a moral choice to fear. It is a conscious decision to fear. At some point, you are aware that fear is going on inside of you. You have to pull back here and say, wait a minute, there's a spirit activity happening that has invaded my inner man. I cannot allow it to continue. I got to deal with it. It's not just a negative arrangement of facts. There's a spirit activity involved here. It is morally wrong to submit to fear, as we'll see in some very clear scriptures. The Spirit speaks. The Spirit speaks. That's why it's called the spirit of faith. And the devil speaks. The spirit of fear is the spirit of doubt, the spirit of terror and disaster and doom. As we continue, the next charge says, the spirit of faith releases power. 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. 1 Peter 1 and verse 5 says, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Shielded by God's power. There is a powerful shield that belongs to you and I. The Bible says, until the coming of salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time, in the last days, we're going to need the shield of faith like we've never needed it before. And we'll use it. We'll be conscious of it. We'll be aware of it if we recognize how the devil's attack is also a spirit attack. He wants you to be weak. He wants you to be a victim. He wants you to surrender to every symptom, whether it's financial symptom or physical symptom or any other kind of symptom, and allow it to become bigger and bigger and bigger until it consumes your perspective, your confession, your relationships, and your decisions. The spirit of fear is terrible. It makes you weak. It can make you weak in your body, in your mind, certainly in your spirit. The spirit of faith is what causes the manifestation of love, whereas the spirit of fear is what causes hate to be manifested. I'm not going to take much time on that, but move on. quickly the spirit of faith, release his blessing and safety. Psalm 112, and this is a psalm I've used a great deal throughout my life journey, and I'm sure I'll continue to use it because it is full of so many wonderful promises. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. And he goes on, and he says in verse 6, surely he will never be shaken. Never be shaken. Verse 7, he will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Have no fear. Have no fear. You and I should say that about ourselves. I have no fear. The world can be full of fear. They got a lot of fearful stuff going on in this world, but I have no fear. I have no fear. I've swept myself clean with the Word of God, and I've allowed the Spirit of faith to invade my inner man. I have no fear. I have no fear. Today, God wants you to be cleansed of the spirit of fear, to have that totally removed from your life so you can walk with confidence and comfort and peace. There's a confession if you have the spirit of faith. John 12:42. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith. In other words, you should confess your faith. You should confess your faith. You should say, speak what you believe, what has come to you from the spirit of faith and the word of faith. You should proclaim the word of faith. He said these people would not confess their faith for fear. For fear. The spirit of fear had so gripped them. They thought they would be put out of the synagogue if they confessed that Jesus was their Savior. You know, that's something that's going to come into powerful focus in these last days. Very quickly, looking at our next chart there. Security conscious. We talked about that in Psalm 112. Have no fear of bad news. You won't be shaken at all. At all. Freedom. Let's look at freedom and slavery. Romans 8, verse 15. If you want these notes, they are published on the website. And I'd encourage you to get them and take some time to go through the notes so that you can actually get a hold of this message and get it more deeply implanted inside of you. For the Bible says, for you did not receive a spirit. So this is one you did not get from God that makes you a slave. That makes you a slave. A slave to fear. Wow. That's so good. I'm no longer a slave to fear. That's one of the songs I want to encourage you to listen to and sing today. God does not want you to be a slave to fear. And fear will make you a slave. It will direct your decisions and your lifestyle. Because that spirit has gotten a hold of you on the inside. You know, it's so important for you to have discernment. Because many people in our time think that the choices and the decisions they make are just being wise. They're just taking precaution. But drill down a little bit deeper. There's no absolute profound conviction. They aren't what the Bible says, fully persuaded that God is their refuge, their strength, their protection, their deliverance, their salvation, their supply. They've got all kinds of others. As one man told me when I first came to London, there are people who are both belt and braces. you know, a belt is what you use to hold up your trousers. A generation or two back, people used braces. There are many Christians who are belt and braces. They're going to make certain that they don't suffer any loss. What's going on there? What's going on there? It's all important to be real, to be honest about this. Truth is what's brought to you by the Spirit of faith. I want to just finish this before next week we get to the law of faith, but I just want to cover this last couple of points here. Truth is what's brought to you by the Spirit of faith. Romans 4 and verse 19 contrasts the truth that's brought to you by the Spirit of faith and the facts that are rehearsed to you by the spirit of fear. This is referring to Abraham, the father of all who believe. The Bible says, without weakening in his faith, it's possible to weaken in your faith. And when you weaken in your faith, you are submitting to the other spirit, to the spirit of fear. The Bible says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the facts. All the devil can use is the facts. And he twists the facts. And he speculates. And he puts those notions in your mind. The doctor said, you will die. The economist said, you will suffer. You will never prosper again. Because what you do has gone away. Those are the facts. Abraham, you're an old man. There's no hope for you and Sarah. That is a fundamental, scientific, well-established fact. The Bible says Abraham faced the facts and he went with the truth. The truth is superior because it comes from the Spirit of faith, the spirit of faith based in the promises of God, the word of faith. God said, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. If God said it, it doesn't matter how many encyclopedias of facts you can stack up, it will happen if you believe. If you believe. Truth and facts. I understand that we study, we go to school, we learn facts. They have part and parcel of our operational life in this world. But they should not be the final court of decision making in the quality of life we're going to have or our ability to present the powerful gospel to this world. Lastly, the spirit of faith speaks. The spirit of faith speaks on the inside. In Matthew 9:29, you know the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She's there with all those other people, and the Bible says she has this conversation on the inside. Who's she talking to? She says, I know, if I but touch him, I'll be healed. Let me tell you, that's the conversation. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit coming through her voice on the inside of her. That's where the spirit of faith fundamentally operates first, on the inside. And the devil's has a voice as well. He says, no, you're not going to get well. Your business won't restart. Your finances won't improve. You will never have this or that or the other. You'll never do this, that, or the other. You'll never matter. You'll never count. You'll never get out of the kind of person that you've been in. You'll never recover from the wounds and the terrible things that have happened to you. Those are lies. And those lies that are packed full of fear can take residence inside you. Today, God wants that spirit of fear to be taken off of your life, so that you can operate in a whole new realm with the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. How do you deal with this, Pastor? How do you deal with the spirit of faith? Well, first of all, you got to discern it. I didn't discern it as a young man. Somebody else discerned it, and they helped me. But today, I'm going to do what they did, and I'm going to do what you can do. Because when Jesus spoke to the devil, what did he do? He didn't just try to figure it all out and say, well, okay, wait a minute. No. The Bible says he actually did something. And I want you to do that today as we close. Jesus spoke to a spirit. And many years ago, they spoke to a spirit that had lodged itself on my mind, camped in my thoughts. I thought my thoughts were just my thoughts. And they tormented me and they terrorized me, but I thought that was just kind of the person I was, you know. Unlike other people, they were all getting on with their life and enjoying life. But I was misery guts because that's just the kind of person that I am. I accepted unwittingly an identity based on lies and fears that was not what Christ had given me. But some powerful, authoritative words took me out of that dark hell hole and prison of fear. Today, God is going to do that for you right in your home. Right in your home. And as you rehearse this message throughout this week, you can perhaps itemize some of your fears and say, okay, I'm getting rid of this one and that one and the other one. They're no longer going to have any sort of play in my thought life. I'm going to replace them with the word of faith. The word of faith. Bow your hearts with me today. As a spirit operation is about to take place inside you, in your home, wherever you are listening to this message. The Holy Spirit of God intended that you have this encounter today, just as I had an encounter some years ago, to release me from bondage to fear. No more. What did Jesus do? The Bible said he spoke to a spirit and he commanded him with all heavenly authority, the same authority that you and I have, and he said to that spirit, away from me, Satan. And Satan had to go. And today, I am speaking to you, you spirit of fear, residing on the minds and on the lives of those who are listening today. I command you in the authority of the name of Jesus, away, go away now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to say to you today, you are now free. You need to develop in the word of faith. The spirit of fear is gone from your life. Now, you want your mind to track in new ways the promises of God, your speech in new directions, where you confess, I have no fear. I don't care what this world looks like. I don't care what my history's been. I believe God and His Word. God bless you. I want to encourage you to take advantage of the list of songs that we have included in the notes. One of them, of course, is I'm no longer a slave to fear. Destined to win, we bow down, though I walk through the valley, by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Owner of the Key, those songs will help encourage you today as you seek to declare, rehearse, and speak the truth and allow that spirit of faith to rise within you and give you comfort, confidence, peace, and victory. God bless you this week.